All right. One of the things I like to do, I do a lot when I ride or drive, and last week I drove about 3,000 miles, is I like to think. My mind never really shuts down, and it's that time of my life where I'm just able to let it wander and think about whatever it wants to think about and listen to the voices in my head. But as I think about my own life, and as I think about the world around me that I have to engage, and as I think about you all, I find life to be complex and confusing, sometimes overwhelmingly so. And at those times, I realize that I need wisdom with the many challenges that you all are facing, that we face. I realize that I need wisdom navigating the situations of our culture, navigating the situations of your lives, navigating the situations of my own life. I often feel is like trying to untangle a rope that's in my garage. It could be a regular rope or it can be a long extension cord. That whenever I go to pick it up, it doesn't matter how I wrapped it to begin with, it always ends up with knots in it. You guys ever have that experience? Happens to me every time. Every time. And life is like that rope or that cord that's just filled with knots. And the more I try to untangle it at times, the more knots I find. And the harder I try, the tighter that they become. And I often find myself saying, I don't know what to do. When we find ourselves in these situations, we are often told we need to cry out, God, help me, Jesus. I need some wisdom. I don't know what I'm doing. I need your help. I need your understanding to be able to untangle those knots, to be able to get the knots out. I need wisdom. Now, Scripture is clear that when it comes to dealing with the knots of life, that there are two primary sources for wisdom. Two ways of seeing life, two ways of understanding life, two ways of responding to life. There are two ways, two sources of wisdom. But here's the thing, as disciples, as passionate followers of Jesus, which we are calling all of us into, we must make a choice as to where we are going to find that wisdom. Scripture is very clear that there is the world's wisdom, there's a world's way of looking at life. The world looks at life through a certain lens in certain ways. And it says, when your life is in knots, when you're in situations that are complex and confusing, and you don't know what to do, when you're having trouble with your marriage, with your job, with your children, or children with your parents, not that that ever happens here, with your finances, with relationships, with sexuality, when you need wisdom, the world says, this is how you navigate these situations. This is how you understand. This is how you get the knots out of your life. This is how it happens. This is how you deal with the knots. But God makes it clear that worldly wisdom flows out of the whims of culture and of our sin nature, which we must understand. These whims, this understanding, this way of seeing, these whims, this way of understanding is energized by the nature and the purposes of none other than the devil himself. He has a way of wisdom that he calls us into. He has a way of wisdom which we are born into, which we are bred into. And he says, this is how you deal with the knots of life. In 1 John 5:19, John writes these words, the whole world lies in, and I want to pause there. There's imagery here. there's imagery of a mother holding a nursing baby. The whole world lies in, and use that imagery, the power of the evil one. He, the power of the evil one, or the evil one himself, takes and says, this is how you understand life. This is how you deal with the knots of life. This is how you deal with your marriage. This is how you deal with your sexuality. This is how you deal with your gender issues. This is how you deal with your finances. This is how you deal with your children. So that's where worldly wisdom flows out of, and worldly wisdom will always result with certain outcomes. Looking at the news this morning, 91 people killed in Baghdad. 240 people injured. Read the story of this last week of a mother who took and shot her two kids, her two daughters, to get back at her husband. You can see chaos and death all over the place. This is how the world says, handle these issues. But you got to understand that when we follow the world's wisdom, which really become, we're, since we're born into the world's wisdom, when we follow it, those are the inclinations of our own hearts. When we follow those, this is going to be the outcomes along this continuum. From personal chaos to personal and societal destruction. But there's another wisdom, there's another source of wisdom, and that's God's wisdom. And God's wisdom involves and calls us out of this chaos and into a very different way of understanding life, into a very different narrative, a very different way of living life, of relating to one another. A different way of getting the knots out of life. Now, God's wisdom flows out of the very nature and the purposes and the Father heart of God. And God's wisdom will result in very different outcomes than the world's wisdom. God's wisdom results in what we call, or what the Old Testament calls, a life of shalom. Peace. And flourishing. Not necessarily in your circumstances, but in your being as you engage those circumstances. Whereas the world's wisdom calls you into its way of thinking, which is energized by Satan himself and has the outcomes of chaos and ultimately death. God's wisdom comes out of the very nature of who he is and energizes us into a very different direction whose outcomes will be shalom, peace, and human flourishing. Again, not necessarily in your circumstances, but it helps you navigate those circumstances so that you may be able to experience a life that is flourishing regardless of the circumstances that are around you. How cool is that? I don't have to be a wreck when my life is a wreck. When my circumstances aren't working out, I don't have to be a wreck in the midst of that. Did I miss something? Oh, okay. So you're just saying amen. I thought, oh, okay. Amen. Amen. All right. Love you, brother. I don't give very many amens. It kind of threw me off. If we want wisdom, though, that leads to shalom, there's only one place to get it, and that is God. God is the source of all true, reliable, and life-giving wisdom. When it comes to navigating or wanting to understand how to navigate sexuality, marriage, gender, hardships, the knots of life, God's, we need to understand that God's wisdom, His understanding are supreme. In one of the most darkest moments and confusing seasons of Job's life, there were a lot of people who were speaking into his life. His friends, his wife. A lot of people were trying to help him navigate the circumstances of his life. And he had to choose, who am I going to listen to? Whose wisdom am I going to listen to? I've got two sources here. He proclaims this in Job chapter 12. To God belongs, and he says this in the midst of the wreck of his circumstances, in the midst of his life being all jacked up, to God belongs wisdom and power. Counsel and understanding are His. And the idea is His alone. If I want to experience shalom, then this is where I got to go, is what he says. But one must ask, Job, why choose God's wisdom rather than your friend's wisdom? Why choose God's wisdom rather than your wife's wisdom? Well, part of that is because his wife said, curse God and die. I'm glad he didn't choose that one. But he says, you know what? I'm not interested in trying to navigate the situations of my life as jacked up as they might be, as dark as this season is. I'm not interested in trying to navigate it with the world's wisdom. The wisdom of my well-intentioned friends. The wisdom of my ill-intentioned wife. Instead, he says, I choose my Father's wisdom. And he didn't know where it was going to take him yet. But he says, God, your wisdom is supreme. Your understanding is supreme. Now, in our culture, this is a pretty arrogant thing to say, right? Pretty arrogant thing to say. On what basis do we say this? And it's this, God's understanding and His wisdom are infinite. It doesn't stop right here in front of my face. It's far reaching. It's infinite. God knows all things actual. He knows what you did this morning. It's kind of scary, isn't it? He knows what you did yesterday before you were preparing for this morning. That's really scary. He knows all things actual. Hebrews 4 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before His eyes, of whom we must give an account. God knows all things actual, but God also knows all things possible. He knows the infinite number of possibilities of things that could happen. In Isaiah 46:9, Isaiah writes, remember the former things those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Now, how is He different in this context? He points out verse 10, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times to what is still to come. God says, there are no surprises, there are no gaps in my understanding. I know all things actual, that which you did do, and I know the infinite number of possibilities as well. He knows all things actual and all things possible. But that raises the question, okay, God's wisdom is supreme and it can be life-giving if I choose to follow it. But how might God use His wisdom on my behalf? How might God use His wisdom on Jeff's behalf or Tom's or Mary's behalf? How might God use this wisdom and understanding to guide me? What will He use it towards? What end? God will use His knowledge and His wisdom to determine the best possible means through our circumstances, given our circumstances, given the chaos that we were birthed in, were raised in, and still live in, God will use His knowledge and wisdom to determine the best possible means to accomplish the best possible ends for our good and for His glory. To accomplish the best possible ends for our good and for His glory. It doesn't matter what the knots are in one's life. God says, I choose for you. If you want my wisdom and my understanding, this is how I'm going to take you. I choose for you the best possible means to accomplish the best possible ends in your life that will be lead you into what is for your good and for my glory. Amen? Now, will I always see it at that point in time right here? No, but God sees it all from the beginning to the end, from the ancient to the future. God sees it all, right? You know, one thing I've shared this before, one thing you learn when you're riding a motorcycle is that you will end up where you focus. That could be good or it could be bad. Kim says, when she's riding on the back, why do you always hit the potholes? To which I say, I don't always hit the potholes. I missed one last week. Don't say always or never, because it is not true. All right, why did you hit that pothole? Because I was looking at it. I was going somewhere with that. Focus. There we go. Thank you. I'm focusing. Bring it back. Bring it back. God, thank you for your grace. I've been off 2 weeks, all right? I choose for you the best possible means to accomplish the best possible ends in your life for your good and for my glory. Now, what are the best possible ends that He wants to accomplish that are for my good and His glory? It is this, my happiness. No, not really. It's that I would be transformed into the image and the ways of Jesus. That's the best possible ends. But Martin, what's that got to do with shalom? Everything has to do with shalom in that case. It says the only way in which you're going to experience my peace and human flourishing is that as you become that which I created you to be at the very beginning. And I'm not talking about just what you do. I'm talking about your being. So that you're not a wreck in the midst of this wreck of your circumstances. That we'd be transformed. So when we say that God is wise and that He is the source of all true and worthwhile wisdom, we can be assured that He will use the best possible means to accomplish the best possible ends for our good and for His glory. And you can be assured that if there was a better way to do it, He would do it. But I don't like the circumstances that I'm going through. My life is a bunch of knots. And I have no idea how to navigate these circumstances. Well, God will give you His wisdom if you ask. To all who pursue it. When your life is in knots, when you're facing challenging decisions, when you want clarity regarding a decision, James says, if any one of you lacks wisdom on how to navigate the circumstances that you're in, the season of life that you're in, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. Let's pause there. Why does he say that? He says that because sometimes we get ourselves in the ditch. And we think, I don't dare ask how to get out of the ditch. I got to figure it out on my own. Because if I ask, someone's going to look at me and say, well, how the heck did you get in the ditch? I was focusing on the wrong thing. Well, that was dumb. Okay, all of a sudden you start to feel the shame. I'm not going to let anyone know I'm in the ditch. And if other people treat me that way, surely God. So I can't ask God for wisdom. And God says, no, listen, I'm a father. You're not an orphan and I'm not a taskmaster. You're my child, you're my son, my daughter, and I'm your daddy. And I'm not going to shame you because of where you are. I may discipline you because you got yourself in the ditch and it was the 100th time and I told you, don't go that direction and you're rebelling. You say, okay, I'm going in that direction. But you know what? I'm going to be like the father of the prodigal. I'm not going to shame you. I'm not going to shame you. I'm going to treat you as my son and as my daughter. So that's why he says, without finding fault, regardless of how you got there, and it will be given to him. Well, if I am in my situation and I need to navigate this circumstance or I need to get these knots out, does that mean that if I go and I ask God, give me wisdom, that all my knots will get untied? I'll wake up in the next morning and all the knots will be untied? I wish. I wish it was that if you start at this end of the rope, Martin, just do this, this, and this, and this, y'all the knots will be untied. I wish that's what it meant. Possible, it may be that at times, but not always. So what does he mean by when he says, I will give you wisdom? What's that give us? What's that do for us? And here are a couple of thoughts. When I give you wisdom, you can trust me to give you the wisdom and the power that you need to remain faithful in following me in my ways in the midst of those situations. Because I'm in this dark place, and he says, you just take these next steps and I'll lead you towards the light. You may not see the light yet, but you can trust me. I will give you the wisdom for the next step that you need to take. I will give you the wisdom and the power that you need to remain faithful to me and following me in my ways. So Jesus says, when you're in this situation, go in this direction. I can say, okay, God, you're going to give me the strength, the wisdom, the power to do that, the understanding of how to do that. I will also give you the wisdom and the power you need to become the kind of person that I'm calling you to be in the midst of the wreck of your life, in the midst of the situations and the circumstances that you find yourself in. Because, see, it's not just about doing the right kind of things. God says, I am going to guide you in a pathway that's not going to just get you out of the ditch, but I'm going to guide you in a way that's going to make you a different kind of person. I'm going to form you into the image of Jesus in these next steps. And it's not like you take this next step and suddenly you're formed in the image of Jesus. There are layers. I have so much toxicity within my own soul of areas that need yet to be formed into the ways of Jesus and the heart of Jesus, the image of Jesus. And I think, Lord, what's taken so long? And he says, you have no idea how long it's going to take, buddy. You have no idea how deep the mess goes. But you just remain faithful to me. I'm going to use this situation to form you to become the kind of person that I'm calling you to be in the midst of your broken marriage, in the midst of your finances, in the midst of parenting, in the midst of your sexuality. I'm going to give you the wisdom to become the right kind of person, not just do the right kind of things. And I'll give you the wisdom and the power to make the appropriate decisions at the right time. But God, I want to know what I need to do tomorrow. I want to know what I need to do next week. That's not the right time yet. He may tell you, but that's not the right time yet. Larry is being laid off from World Vision after 23 years. What's he going to do? We don't know yet. I'm sure Larry would love to know right now, what's my next step, the next door I'm going to go through so that I'm doing what I need to be doing. God says, I'm just going to give you enough wisdom and a power to take the next step. I'm not showing you the door yet. Larry, would you like to see the door right now? Darlene, would you like to see the door right now? Yeah. But God says, that's not what I'm giving you the power and the capacity to do yet. Because see, I see the end from the beginning. I see all things actual and all things possible. But you just trust me. You take that next step. But Martin, I don't like his wisdom. What if I don't like his means or and his ends, even if they are for my good and for his glory? Ever feel that way? I have. I've confessed many times. I don't like how it feels, God, and I don't like where this is going because it's very different than where I thought it was going to go. It's very, very different. I thought I was going to end up at point A, and you put me at point M. There's a big difference between those two, God. And says, this is where I want you to go, not where you want to go or where you thought you were going to go and you were going to use me to get there. God says, no. But Martin, it feels neither good nor glorious. And this is where we must choose. God says, will you trust me? Will you trust me? Will you believe that I have the best means possible to accomplish the best possible ends for your good and for my glory? Think about that. If you ask me for wisdom, do you believe that I have the best possible means to accomplish the best possible ends in your life, for your good, and for my glory? Do you believe that? Well, yeah, God, as long as this is the end, and these are the means, I think that that's what they are, so we're all in. No. Do you trust me, not do you trust what you want me to do? Do you trust me? I'm your father. I'm a pretty good one at that. Will you trust me? Will you believe that if there is a better way, if there was a better way, that I would do it? Really, these are soul-probing questions. At least they are for me. When you start to wonder, you start to question, Dad, what are you doing? Will you believe that if there was a better way, I would do it? Would you believe that? Do you believe that? Yeah, but it doesn't feel that way. No, I'm just asking you to take a step of faith. To trust me. Will you rest? And will you relax in my sovereign goodness, that I'm a good dad, that I'm a good dad? If the answer to those questions is no, then when you come to me with ask for wisdom, you're not going to get any. James, again, James 1 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously without finding fault, and it will be given to him. When he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Does that mean not question? No. Because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Well, why is this person doubting? It's because that man should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord because he is double-minded. Means, he says, God, I've got these knots in my life and I need some wisdom to get them out. Tell me what I should do and how I should navigate this. And by the way, God, I'm also going to see this person over here. I'm going to use the world's wisdom and we're going to find out what they have to say, and then I'm going to kind of mix and match or weigh my options as to what I want to do. Who's got the best deal for me? Who's got the ends that I want and the means that I want to get through this mess? Who's going to give me the ends and the means that I want? God, if it's you, then I'll go with that. If it's the world, this is how I navigate my marriage. This is how I navigate my sexuality, my gender questions. If it's going to be the world, then God, I'm going to go with them. I'm going to weigh my options to see who can give me the best deal. God says, well, you can do that. But you're not going to get my wisdom. When we talk about embracing, when we talk about God being a God of wisdom as part of His core nature and who He is, when we talk about embracing Him as a God of wisdom, God says, make your choice. Is my wisdom supreme? Is it life-giving? Do you see it as supreme and do you see it as life-giving? That's what matters most. What matters most is not that I understand what is happening, or that I understand all the means, or I understand all the ends to which He is leading. What matters most is, will I trust Him that's the one who does? When we pursue God's wisdom, understand this, that His wisdom will feel very, very contrary to the natural inclinations of our own hearts. To our natural inclinations to which we would do it. Why is that? Because we're born into the midst of chaos, right? We're born in the midst of sin. That's why they call birth labor. That's not why, but it worked for the moment. We're born into a way of understanding. That way of understanding is shaped by culture. It's energized by Satan himself. And when we are called out of that chaos, out of that way of thinking, out of that way of understanding, God says, I'm leading you in a different way. And it's not going to always make sense to you. That's why Paul writes in Ephesians 5, he says, be very careful to be wise. To be wise. His wisdom will feel contrary to the natural inclinations of our own hearts, and our understanding of His wisdom should always be filtered through a gospel-saturated community. Because I don't know how many times I thought I had the wisdom that God was given to me, and I had just a slice, but then I would sit down and I would say, and this is what I'm thinking. And a person would say, well, here's some more that I feel like the Spirit is speaking into my life on your behalf. And community must be gospel saturated. In other words, it understands the ends and the means towards which God is walking us towards. And it's modeled by the nature and the life and the ways of Jesus himself. Even Jesus, when he was in Gethsemane, went to his disciples and said, help, help. Will you pray for me? He knew what the ends, the means and the ends were going to be. But he says, I need you to pray for me. Isn't that humbling? Almighty God, the God of wisdom and understanding, goes to these ragtag group of misfits. Says, will you pray for me? Jesus knew the means and the ends towards which everything was culminating. We don't always know the means or the ends. So if Jesus asked for prayer, how much more so should we?